We are, and always will be, stupid. Hello, and welcome to edition 232 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at Archant Towers in the centre of Norwich, a fine city, and we're also going out on Future Radio, and we're here to review the Japan Grand Prix and the land of the setting sun on Ferrari season. Do you see how we flipped it there? Do you see how we flipped it? Nice. Coming up, number one, racing incidents, or are they? Two, Ricciardo, we'll get clarification on pronunciation, is roaring, and more Magnussen ball sucking, which I know one of our guests is already very excited about, wants to get straight to it, apparently. I am not sports journalist Michael Bailey. I am, in fact, fellow NRF1 podcast co-founder Perry Hamilton. And joining me today, we have self-confessed Team Lewis fangirl Melissa Rowlands. Melissa, hello.
Hello.
And we also have Norfolk's own Italian, and I'm going to get this right, Alessandro Ezza Fumagalli.
Yes, hello.
Also known as Alex to you and I, and to everyone else. We're all well, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful time. Did we get up early to watch the race, or were we? Was it a lie-in and watch on catch-up? No, you're nodding. You were up early,
absolutely
Melissa.
Absolutely not. I was in bed.
You were building me up there.
No, yes. No, I watched it on record. But it was good because that means I could really concentrate, pause.
Yeah.
You know, if I needed to pop for a...
Cup of tea.
Yeah.
Biscuit.
And then go back to it. So, yeah, it's much better watching it on record.
You watch it live, Alex?
Nah, tea time.
Oh.
Yeah, nice with my tea, just, you know, watching the race straight in there.
All right. Well, I did watch it live and then fell straight back to sleep. But that's not to say that it wasn't a fantastic race, because it absolutely was. There was lots going on. Not so much at the front, which is, you know, unusual, because if you think back to the first sort of half, at least the first third of this season, all of the action was taking place at the front, and it was really, really, you know, really enthusiastic, great stuff. But a lot of midfield action in Japan, and a lot of overtaking. So we'll touch on that as we go through. We'll come to Merck a little bit later. Obviously, we know, if you're listening, probably successful. You know, it's a successful weekend for them. If you don't know, stop listening, watch the race, and then come back. But we do want to talk about Ferrari, because I mean, we have, you know, our resident Italian with us to talk about Ferrari, and we also have our resident Merck fangirl here as well. So this is, I kind of almost feel like a referee that's going to be in like some kind of heated fisticuff debate. But yes, so we're going to talk about the botched quali, and you guys will have to help me out with that, because quali was something I actually missed. We're going to talk about some V-on-V crime with Vettel and Verstappen bashing into each other. But we will talk a little bit more about Vettel in our Patreon podcast. I should also let you all know, listeners, that Michael Bailey may well be joining us a little bit later, and I may hand the reins over to him. I may keep the reins and may keep hosting and make him be our guest. I want to get to them, and I do want to talk about Mercedes in the pit stops, but we've got to talk about Ferrari first. Simple question, Alex, right now. Is it over for them?
Yes. Yeah. It was over last race, and they confirmed that it's over again. They got it wrong. Once again, they just got panic. They just panic. So as soon as they see Mercedes getting up and go faster and go stronger, they panic. Arriva Bene said is disappointed by that, and you see it.
So where do you think the fall happened this weekend? Quali? Do you think it started on...
Quali. It started at quali, for sure. When the rain came, they got the strategy wrong. They just missed out. Silver Arrows got it bang on. They got out on time. They got the laps in that they wanted. And Ferrari just timed it that little bit wrong. And it was game over.
But, I mean, okay. I mean, we sit here around a table in Archant Towers in beautiful Norwich, and we can, you know, be those armchair experts. But I have to ask.
I'm not an armchair. Yeah, armchair expert.
Absolutely, you are. Well, you know, everyone's an armchair expert. But yeah. I do have to ask. This is Suzuka. We've been racing here for 30 years. How, when you are one of the top two teams in this sport, do you not do your research?
Yeah.
Do you not prepare for every eventuality down to the minute detail?
Especially now when it's crunch time and it really, really matters. Yeah. There's a lot of pride at stake here. It's 4-4. They're both gunning for the fifth one, and yeah, they can't afford to make mistakes.
Exactly. I mean, and this, and you think, I mean, there's more than just a drivers and team championship on this for at least you got to think for the Tifosi and for the whole Ferrari brand. There's more than just a championship at stake here, isn't it? This is
100%. I mean, I think that you can see a little bit from Vettel driving the mistake he made against Verstappen. I think, you know, that was just panic. He just panicked, wanted to pass him. He didn't know how to do it at the end, and he did crash. It was Vettel. I personally think it was Vettel's fault. It went too optimistic to try and overtake it. But for Vettel then to do a great race, we've seen it before and we've seen it again this Sunday, he has to crash, he has to make a mistake, and then he does a great race. It's not how you win a championship.
He made it so hard for himself. I mean, apparently he's overtook everyone in the pack, apart from obviously the front runners of Max, Valtteri and Lewis, of course. And he just kept messing up. He knew about the 5-second penalty that Max had. His engineer let him know that information. And he had time to get that overtake in there. And he just lost his patience, didn't he? He just needed to do it.
This isn't the first time that we've seen Vettel bottle it, is it? I mean, we go back to Monza, exactly, you know, and just drove off the track.
Yeah.
And, okay, yeah, your Vettel defenders out there, I'm sure, will say to me that there was a little bit more to it than that. But there's often been this narrative surrounding Sebastian Vettel that he's great leading a race, but he's not great, and he's great carving through a pack, which, you know, Melissa, you've already touched on that. But he's not great when it comes to racing for the win. Do we think that's... Are we seeing that now more?
I think Lewis has really worked on his mental strength. I think that's what it comes down to. Is mentally, Lewis Hamilton just seems to be in a lot stronger position than what Sebastian Vettel does. And I mean, there's margins of what you could say Sebastian's slightly younger. Someone even touched on the fact he's got a family. He's got two young kids. You know, you've got Lewis Hamilton who can arguably just go off and go on holiday with friends and chill and relax, when actually Sebastian then goes back to home life of having a family and kids and things going on in that way. He's not actually that much younger than what Lewis is, but I really do think that Lewis has worked on his mindset, and I think that it's all come down to the psychology of it, really, because he just keeps making silly mistakes and he really needs to cut that out.
He really does.
I agree. I mean, Crofty as well was saying during the race that Lewis prepared the overtakes. He just takes two laps to prepare them. Vettel just goes in, and when you do that, inevitably you're just going to crash, or you're going to do some mistakes which you're going to lose time on it.
But is it a lack of preparation? Is it a lack of... Because I know you say Lewis prepares his overtakes on the track. Do you think there's pre-race preparation that they should be going through mentally?
Mentally. I think it's all mentality, as Melissa was saying. You know, he just knows in his mind what to do. He gets ready to overtake it. And Vettel doesn't probably just act on instinct.
He can do... Sorry, excuse me, I know you'll bleep that for us, but he can do...
We probably won't.
And still go come second at doing stuff. That's the thing. He really can pull out an above average performance above some. I mean, they say that Max is great at managing his tyres. They say Lewis is great at it. Seb's good at it. Kimi's good at it. Apparently, Valtteri Bottas isn't there yet at managing his tyres as well as what they are. So he's got the fundamentals to be great, but what it's boiled down to is the fact that I think Ferrari, in a way, have let him down when it comes to strategy, in a way. But Seb hasn't also produced where Lewis has, and I think it's all down to the mental strength that Lewis really has worked on his mindset. He just seems so at peace. It's weird. He just seems so content.
I thought that, and we will touch a bit more on Hamilton and his nerves or lack thereof when we get down to our pit stops. But okay, so that's the big names, and I think in pit stops we're gonna stop off, and we're gonna stop off at Merck, and we're gonna stop off at Red Bull, and maybe some Haas. But I mean, since we're talking about Ferrari, Kimi was a bit of a afterthought, I think, in this race. He was running, but he wasn't threatening at any point in time. But what did we think about, you know, his replacement for next year, Charles Leclerc, a favourite of podcast regular Callum Springall, I know. But how did we think Charles? Because you got to think, I mean, I know...
20 years old, didn't he?
Yeah, and he got out of the way every time he had to, and we saw that. But you've got to think now, every race from now until the end of the season is an audition for him, surely. I mean,
he is.
Is he acing that audition right now, do we think, Alex?
I think he is. It was unlucky for him, obviously, to go out for the Grand Prix because of technical failure. He was disappointed, he said himself. He had a little crash with Magnussen. He's wheeling around. He went on the back of him, but Magnussen was just wheeling around the truck. So
Yeah, it's almost like a double move, wasn't it? Just kind of going one way then the other and caught him very much by surprise. Exactly. Yeah.
I think until then, he had a good race. You know, he was top 10, I think he was there.
Yeah.
And then he obviously dropped off, but...
It is an audition, but he's still so young and he's still going to make mistakes. I mean, they're learning all the time. Even Lewis says, I'm learning all the time. And oh my God, he's 33, 34 years old. I mean, there's things that they're always kind of like learning. But is he what Max Verstappen is? If you had to peg two people together, there's obviously qualities there that they can really see in Charles Leclerc. I mean, what did he won? Was it FP2?
F2.
Yeah. He won that. He's got superb talent. Is he getting as much out of the car as what he could? I don't know. Is Sauber best of the rest? I don't know.
Yeah. You can see the racing talent is there.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Mm. But it's going to be a work in progress. Are they going to give him the time that he needs? Mm. I mean, Danny Kvyat was just like, right, out you go. In comes Max Verstappen. I don't know, there's something about Max Verstappen, though. I know that he can be quite careless, and I know that we're going to touch on that and have opinions on that as well. I don't know. Sometimes you just see X factor and star quality in someone. I don't know whether I'm seeing that in Charles. Like, I don't know whether I'm seeing it in Leclerc. Just, I don't know.
But I think you're absolutely right. And it's really easy to see a star quality in someone in a more junior formula.
Yeah.
Because I've sat around this table with, you know, for many years now, and with someone like DT. And I remember Dave Tillier was so excited about Valtteri Bottas coming through, you know, and the words could be a future world champion. Yeah. You know, I don't know if we're, DT or so. I never said that, but he probably didn't.
But
I bet he did. But a lot of people have sort of said that, and people have. But I mean, I remember hearing people say things like that about Nico Hülkenberg. And where's he now? I mean, I look now and I look at people like Bottas and I look at Hülkenberg and I remember the excitement generated around when they came into
they're
the league.
Solid performers they want. They get the job done, and they're never going to set the world on fire. But they're B+ players, aren't they?
But. Great Daniel Bryan reference.
Did he like that?
Very well done there. Very well done there. But what I will also say is, we also sat around this table and said, more specifically Michael than anyone else, Nico Rosberg will never be a world champion. And if you look at Jenson Button's career, Jenson Button came in as an absolute, you know, oh, this fresh-faced young British driver, very exciting. And it took him a long time to win a world championship.
Too polite. Brilliant, but too polite. And sometimes you just can't be. Because Max Verstappen's not too polite. Christian Horner even said it himself. He will not give you an inch.
But that's what you want out of your...
And also as well, wasn't it, Damon Hill said, you can take liberties with certain drivers. It depends. You wouldn't take liberties against Roman Grosjean because you don't know what the going to do.
No, we'll beep that as well. But no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not the best time for Ferrari right now, because we, you know, they're on the precipice, they're right on the brink of staring down into an abyss of another year that started out so promising. Anything other than a championship this year is going to be heartbreakingly disappointing, and especially since, you know, when Mercs start to show cracks in their armour, they can get brushed over quite easily. But anyway, we've spent a long time lamenting, and we'll move on. Just to remind you all of the best places to interact with us, if you want to tell us that actually no, Ferrari are due for an absolute renaissance, please do. You can find us on Twitter at the NRF1, Instagram the same handle, Facebook you can find it same handle, or fb.me/thenrf1. And we do love also getting your emails. We've had some absolute bangers, and we've got an absolute banger for you this week in our Patreon podcast, are all based around the different weights that decals and paint and how that all fits on a car. And our resident technical expert, Dan Springall, has been giving us some great information on that as well. Everything's tied together on our wonderful website, which is nrf1.uk. It's all linked up there. So everything that you need, you can really get involved with us and with the podcast as well. But as I say, the window's open. It's time for the NRF1 Pit Stops. We've touched on Mercedes already. I mean, the biggest thing that we can say this weekend was, it was how many wins in a Mercedes for Lewis now?
50 wins. I believe 50. That he's had 80 podiums and he's won 71 races.
Melissa says, I believe, when actually she knows full well that it's scrawled on the wall of her Hamilton shrine back at home. I mean,
Mad.
There's only really one word that can describe that, and it fits nicely with the word from this weekend of how he performed this weekend in Japan. It's dominant, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. He knows how to win. He just does it. He just was cruising. I think when he did a pit stop, it was two, three seconds ahead of Bottas again. It was literally a holiday for him.
Yeah. He led every race, and he almost got the Grand Slam because it was pole and pole by a margin, led every race, got the win, and then just got pipped on that fastest lap, which I think in the end went to Vettel.
Yeah, it went to Seb. Yeah.
I mean, that's small consolation this weekend, isn't it,
yeah,
Melissa?
Like,
I mean, it's...
giving the wooden spoon, isn't it? It's like, there you go. It's like, oh, yeah. Just throwing him the bird.
Like,
yeah.
Italy and rugby.
Wow. Like Italy. Well, actually, you can say that. I mean, we probably wouldn't be able to. So, I mean, the big news, though, talking about Merck, with that dominant win, with just being absolutely in control all weekend, we're now 8 points away from a decided championship. So, for you listeners, to put that in perspective, Hamilton, if he wins this weekend and Seb doesn't come second... Hamilton wins the World Championship with three races to go. I'm correct with three?
Yep.
Mexico, Brazil, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Three races to go. If Lewis Hamilton finishes 8 points or more, I believe it's eight or more,
I think yes,
ahead of Sebastian Vettel, regardless of where they finish, Lewis Hamilton will be World Championship. Now, this is a far cry from last season when it came down to almost a bit of crunch time, didn't it?
Yep. Oh, God, yeah.
So, what do we think? If it's decided in Austin, are we still watching the rest of the season, Alex?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't particularly like Austin and Mexico's tracks, to be honest. But yes, why not? I mean, I wouldn't stop to watch it.
I'm going to still watch because apparently Valtteri Bottas has been promised some wins.
Oh, would you take wins that way? I mean, that's a little...
I'm joking.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
No, apparently good.
That would be a good
spirit.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
sweet. We'll give you some wins now.
Yeah, you don't want that, do you? You want to earn them. Well, how? I mean, he did come out after the race and sort of could be seen as making a bit of a jibe, couldn't he?
He alluded to the fact that he executed the plan and it went to plan. Look, Lewis was untouchable, regardless of whatever the plan was. He wasn't anywhere near. He was too busy fighting Max off, wasn't he?
And I mean, what I'll say there is, I watch, for those long time listeners will know, I watch a lot of American football. And American football is one of those games where scores can get really, really high. Yeah. But it's also one of those games where you can't play it softly. So if you start, you know, it's like if you're playing Premier League or whatever, and you get a 4-point league, you can play ticky-tacky, you can knock it back and forth in your own half. That's absolutely fine. But you can't do that in American football because you have to be playing 100% or you're going to get hurt. So that's what they're running up the score. And my argument, and I've had the score run up on me plenty of times in my playing time, but my argument is if you don't want me running up the score on you, stop me scoring.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And I think my argument for this, so is it unfair then, Alex, I suppose I'll ask to say, actually, you want to come out and make all the digs that you can about, oh, I executed the plan. I'll tell you a best way to not have a plan to execute, mate. Be better.
Yeah, and also as well, arguably as well, I think, again, it's been touched on as well, you're not competing for anything. You know, when if you'd actually competed and won and you were really, really close and there was like 20 points or something in it, then we wouldn't even be having this conversation because there'd be something for him to compete for, but there isn't.
So, yeah, so you know, win some races, yeah?
100%, you know, 99.9% of the people probably, they will hate me now to say about the strategy. I don't like team strategies, but that was right because Lewis Hamilton's winning the title now. Bottas is not.
He's
1+1, guys. It's literally 1+1. Mm. You know, why would you lose title for Hamilton when you can just let him pass? And he was going faster at the end. Mm. Hamilton, he said himself, he doesn't like to win like this. But at the end of the day, he was kind of holding him up. He was like, hold up. So
with that being said, maybe a little bit of sharpness towards the end of the season.
Mm.
Could you see Valtteri trying to get out of his contract for next year? Or is the allure of a potentially winning car too nice?
He's too polite. He is the perfect, perfect teammate for Lewis Hamilton because he will allow it to happen. And I know that sounds really, really rotten and awful to say, but Nico never would have let that happen. He like had his stall set out. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to win a championship and then he wanted to retire. That's fine. But Valtteri is too polite. He'll let it happen. He'll be like, yeah, that's absolutely fine. I don't know, would he be that way so much if he'd got more out of the car at the beginning and he was winning more?
Well, we've seen that Mercedes will do that with Nico. You know, Nico Nico didn't look like a number two driver for a number of years. And then suddenly, boom, well, you know, there world championship.
The last season when Nico was in, it was like two number ones in the team at the end of the day.
And Bottas is not quite Lewis, but
I think Valtteri at the moment is, if he wants to win something, he's in the wrong team.
Yeah.
Because until Hamilton will be there, Hamilton will be the number one. He's good, Bottas is good, but not for, he's in the wrong team if he wants to win.
What if they put Max in beside Lewis Hamilton? No, that would always, I was just going to say, yeah, but that's, it's just, they're very similar personalities. I don't know, is it just the way that, is it just Bottas's personality to allow it? I don't know.
No, I think it's a, I think it's a fair point, but the point in terms of it's cultural. It's a cultural thing within the team. Your point is exactly that, Alex, of if Lewis is there, you're not putting a championship winning driver next to him.
But then again, they've been given all the same tools. I mean, Bottas was even given first pit stop. Yes, I know that doesn't really overly matter, but front runner should always get the strategy and go into the pits arguably first if you're going to go in that way. But I don't, they've got the same tools. What is it about it? Why is he not getting what he could necessarily get out of it? I mean, Ricardo's not doing as well as what Max is doing this season, but he's had reliability issues.
I would take issue with that almost. I would almost say that Ricardo has been as entertaining and as successful as a driver if he'd had the reliability that Max has.
That's what I'm saying. They're so similar. There is no number one and there is no number two at Red Bull.
So let's jump on down to the Red Bull garage and let's stop in with them. Yeah, as we wander down. We have some Jaffa cakes for eating. We'll tweet a photo of the empty pot because they will be gone by the time we get around to it. So you've talked about, you brought them up, Melissa, Max, Verstappen. He was involved in clanks with both Ferrari drivers on Sunday. And we've had a bit of a disagreement here, a polite one. But the first one, sort of opening laps, came back on, sort of hit Kimi Raikkonen. Stewards said, that's a 5-second penalty. Now, you say you do or you don't agree with that, Alex?
I think it's just a race incident. He clearly went off. He tried to pull back in. He oversteered. You could see in the replay, he oversteered. He couldn't do anything different than what he did. The car wouldn't allow it to him. And yes, he hit Raikkonen. Nothing has happened, really. They just raced as normal after that. I think the 5 seconds is too much.
So I see it as there's every opportunity to control your vehicle, slow yourself down, and go straight, and rejoin the track later. But in doing that, you would be losing a place. Yeah. So I get that, and I think the point that you make, Melissa, is that actually it wasn't for the contact.
No, it was for rejoining the racetrack unsafely. Okay. Yeah. But that's where I think you've just hit the nail on the head, not meaning it badly. You've stopped, you've thought clearly, and you've done what you said. It's a mature, I think it is an inexperience issue, maybe just like, oh, quick. And it's maybe, I don't mean to go, oh, it's a youth issue. I just think that he just wasn't thinking. I just think that he was just like, quick, everything. I think it's a maturity issue. Yeah. Whereas you're up against someone called Kimi, who's such a well-seasoned pro, with just like knowing exactly what to do. As a little bit, he's the Iceman. He's cool, isn't he? He knows. Whereas Max is a little bit like, whoa, quick. And I just think it was a lack of experience, maybe. Just
not
thinking.
I think to your point, yeah. I'm 50% with you. I'm 50% not, because half of me thinks
he should know better.
It seems like over 2 years now that we've been talking about, oh, he's young. But actually, he's an experienced racing driver, because he didn't walk into Formula One having not raced before in his life. He's come through the formulas. He's done his time at the you know, things. So maybe we're making excuses for him. But we are very quick to praise him when he shows the maturity. We talked about how he didn't look like a 19-year-old kid when he won in Barcelona. when you know the two Mercedes clattered into each other, took each other, all of that. Suddenly he's leading the Russia blood's dead. We were very quick to praise his maturity and his masterful control of the race.
I think he's going to be a nightmare, though. I think he is a little bit of a nightmare. He's one of the. He's going to be a little loose cannon. He is. He'll wear his heart on his sleeve. He'll swear on the radio. He'll say if he doesn't think something's right, he will stick up to what he. He'll say this is ridiculous. This, that, and the other. He is a little fireball.
And he'll go for the gaps, yeah, Alex.
But he won't give you an inch.
Yeah, you heard him as well in the radio. I think this is ridiculous when they told him that about the 5 second penalty. Yeah. I think a penalty is either stop and go, which that is a penalty, but 5 seconds.
Would you argue he's a little bit arrogant?
I argue everyone. You have to be a successful racing driver, don't you?
I think he's just got the ingredients to be absolutely. He wants 4 world titles by the time he's 30, and I wouldn't be surprised whether he gets it.
He just needs to get in the right car. I mean, the Red Bull showed
something about him. If he just nips out the crazy in the nicest possible way. But yeah, I think he's brilliant. I think he's incredible.
Well, the Red Bull showed decent pace, and I think just from where we're sitting, I think he's marketable, he's charismatic, he's successful, he's watchable. He's not winning a world championship in anything other than a Red Bull. I think Red Bull will commit to that. So I think McGuinness, and look, you said it yourself, Melissa, would you put Max in a Mercedes next to Lewis? Not while Lewis is there.
No,
it's certainly not going to be Ferrari, because we know that's Seb's team for the next however many years, and they're bringing through Charles Leclerc.
He'll only ever get in a Mercedes if McLaren pull their finger out and produce a brilliant car and get Hamilton back. Because I don't see Lewis Hamilton going anywhere ever again other than back to McLaren.
He ain't gonna move. He's going to finish his career in Mercedes. 100%.
I've got something brilliant for you.
No,
which I don't think is going to happen. I think you're right.
I think he'll stay at Merck.
But then again, Sebastian won everything. When Red Bull were at the height of dominance, where Seb was out the front and everything was going on behind him, you give Max Verstappen a car like that.
Oh, yeah. Dominant. Yeah.
Wow.
Listeners, you must be devastated to know that you can't see all of the steering actions that go with Melissa's commentary, which is outstanding. I want to talk about Daniel Ricciardo as well, but we are running on here a little bit. So what we'll do is we'll stop off at Daniel's garage when we get to the F-bombs on the Patreon podcast. So if you want to hear us talk about Danny Rick, you can catch us do it on that. I just want to touch quickly on Haas with the announcement recently that there's going to be a Vietnamese Grand Prix. I'm really excited about having an American team potentially win a race in Vietnam and have the American national anthem played on their podium. They're going to really love that. But I mean, I'll tell you, it's not going to happen with these drivers. Okay. I think, is that a fair point to say? Yeah. We saw K-Mags, Mr. Suck My Balls himself, I think we saw yin and yang of him today, didn't we? We saw both sides, not today, at the race. We saw both sides of him. Fantastic moves, but then also boneheaded moves. Is that the story of his career, Alex?
I think recently, yes. He's been doing that. It's not as consistent. Grosjean started very badly. Then he came up a little bit better.
Don't get me started on Grosjean.
He moves a lot, though. Yeah, I agree with you. I know that. But he's doing better, I think, than Magnussen. Between the two, he's the one doing better.
He's doing better when he's even sloppy, or he just kind of pulls it out from nowhere, doesn't it? So it's like he's really frustrating, because like you said, I can understand why he p***s you off so badly, because there's a really, he just doesn't think.
But saying Grosjean's better than Magnussen is just like saying, you know, pneumonia is better than SARS. I mean, neither of them are particularly pleasant things to engage with, but I mean,
like Hartley or Van Dorn.
Yeah, exactly.
Really has, for me, is the best of the rest.
Oh, they're certainly performing. Yeah, I mean, they've got more points than Renault at the moment.
If you stuck Nico Hülkenberg in the best of the rest, or you stuck someone else in there, Stoffel van Dorn, for example, jokes. I'm just wondering how much more could come out of that, because I think that maybe those sloppy mistakes, like you said, hit and miss, you've got to fit the right driver with the right car, essentially. I know that sounds really cliched and perfect and it's never going to happen, but if that is Haas. Brilliant.
So Haas are almost
the right bodies in the car.
I would almost say Haas are kind of stepping into that McLaren Williams level now. Of old. Williams of old. That, you know, they're not a works team. Let's be clear on that. And therefore they might well struggle to attract top drivers, because they don't have top dollar to pay top drivers. So someone like Hülkenberg would be great in a Haas, but how are you going to get him there?
But if you had someone like Fernando Alonso driving a Haas this season, would he be leaving?
Alonso in a Haas, Alex. That's something to see, isn't it?
That's a good one.
Can
good shout. That's a good, very good shout.
Someone like him in a Haas.
I think he would have think about to stay, to be honest. Yeah,
I'll go this far. I'll say Alonso in a Sauber.
Oh, that's good too.
He would have stuck around in a Sauber. I think that Sauber has the potential to outperform the McLaren. I mean, crikey, a dog with three legs has the power to outperform.
Not with Stoffel van Dorn behind the wheel. Then come on,
the stuff.
Sauber, they've been doing sometimes top 10, top 9. You know, much better than Mercedes McLaren for sure. Yeah. So I think yes.
Okay. So we're comfortable. Haas are the best of the rest, despite having two. I mean,
really good drivers.
Peaks and troughs. Let's call them that. Yeah. I don't know which one's the peak and which one's the trough at the moment. But anyway, so there'll be more some more pit stops and some more F1 bombs and chat about Japanese Grand Prix alongside all the major talking points away from the track. And you can get that on our Patreon podcast. You can check out Patreon, which is patreon.com/NRF1, and you'll get that pod right after you get this pod. So when you're done listening to this one, you can listen to us all over again. So now it's time for our Of the Weekends. There's a little drum roll going from Melissa there. So.
But I know it doesn't count because you'll blot it out.
Do a drum roll and I'll make Mike leave it in. Right, that's probably what we're going to play every time that we do the Of the Weekends now. Thank you for that. We'll cut that and keep that. So, first things first. The Rodolfo Gonzalez Driver of the Weekend. Alex, I'm coming to you first.
Ooh.
Don't act like you've never done this before.
No, I did it before. I don't know what to say. Melissa's going to...
No, you've got... No.
We're all fairly confident Melissa's going to say Lewis Hamilton, so...
Yeah, but... I think... I would say Verstappen. Even if you got a 5-second penalty, you still got the podium. I think, you know, Verstappen.
Okay. Melissa?
For me, he would have nearly got it if he'd made the move on Bottas, and I think that he had a chance to go into Mode 7 or something, and had some chances to do it, and he didn't. So mine goes to the lovely Danny Ricciardo.
I think I agree. I think I would go Ricciardo. It was just fun. It was just fun to watch Ricciardo come through the pack. Really, really well. I do want to give a bit of a shout out to both of the Toro Rosso drivers for such a good Saturday performance. I mean, that was really, really strong from them, but they just can't carry it over into the race outcome.
I don't know what happened.
The strategy was wrong.
It did fall apart. And did they end up with no points at all? I think they finished 11th.
So they ended up 11th and 13th. Yeah, and they've been lapped, both of them. So.
Yeah.
Gasly just outside of the point zone, but it was out.
Okay, so our team of the weekend, I'm assuming it's not going to be Toro Rosso for such a strong Saturday and then such an absolutely cool Sunday. So I'll go the other way around the table. Melissa, your team of the weekend?
Red Bull. I think Christian Horner is going to be really chuffed with a 3 and a 4.
Outstanding. Alex?
I will go for the same. Chris Horner's got his Japanese friend now.
And also, he's married to Ginger Spice. I mean, how much better can life get?
probably better in some way. I'm going to give it to Force India, or Racing Point Force India, or whatever they are called now. Because you had two cars in the top 10. Yeah. They mostly didn't hit each other. And so that's always an improvement for them. And I mean, you know, they were involved in quite a few scraps back and forth, and they were all over the place. I just think, you know, outside of the big three,
they're what Toro Rosso should have been doing and managed to accomplish, whereas Gasly and fell apart.
And also,
not fell apart, but they didn't manage to make it stick, whereas Ocon and Perez, they did.
But bear in mind, they are racing now for the rest of this season under such a cloud of uncertainty. So I think, you know, hats off to Racing Point Team Force India F1 Super Smash Brothers WoW Live, or whatever their name is now. I've got no idea. Our Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, our absolute mug, who has messed things up and doesn't know what they're doing. And I mean, I probably would have to say K-Mags for his weaving and bringing Leclerc up into his backside. And so I'll wait for whichever one of you sticks your hand up first.
K-Mag and Sorokin.
Okay.
Because, yes, Sorokin gives a lot of money, but it's a bit pointless, isn't it?
There's no point giving it to Sorokin because we always know that he's going to be...
You can say it because we'll bleep it.
Mine goes to Sebastian Vettel. He just kept undoing all the hard work that he did. So I'm going to have to say, sorry, you really did pasta a couple of times.
He absolutely passed it out, didn't he? And our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend, Melissa.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to be like, they go,
Because I can give you mine.
Go on. You go first, because I'm like...
Mine was Lewis Hamilton's message to his race engineer saying, where are you, Bono? Have you gone for a break? I haven't heard from you in ages. What's going on? And Bono just going, sorry, mate, back now. And you just think, man can't even go to the toilet in peace. If that is indeed what he was doing, man can't even go to the toilet in peace. And I thought, bless you. What information is he after? Everything's kosher. The gap is good. Tyres are good. Engine's good. Telemetry's fine. You're doing great. There's no rain coming. The sushi's fresh for when you get back. What information is he after there? To then just be like, where you at, man? What's going on? So that for me, I mean, it's not a racing moment.
Though, but... Didn't they, by going, you got the Grand Slam? No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's ice cold. That's ice cold, because you know that would have mugged him off.
I go back to Christian Horner with his Japanese friend that he couldn't care less what he was trying to tell him. At the podium, and it was a very weird face, like, what he's trying to say? Yeah, just very weird, but it was funny to watch, so yeah, good for him.
Right, Melissa, we come back to you. You've got to have a moment.
I also, the moment was definitely in the post-interviews when it was really awkward turtle about what the plan was with Valtteri. I did feel that was a bit of shade thrown. So that was...
DC, wasn't it, doing the post
one? Yeah, it was DC. And I do think that I was paying attention, but I didn't probably notice the shade as much as what was then alluded to. So I think that people picked up that there was a little bit of a dig in there. So I'd say that. It's not as good as yours, I'm afraid.
My absolute joy to all our listeners getting so brought up on the street slang of throwing shade. Thank you for that, Melissa. So, it's time to rate this race, guys. Out of 11.
Why is it out of 11?
Because this one goes up to 11.
Oh, okay.
So, out of 11. Alex, I'm coming to you first, because Melissa's obviously having a moment. Out of 11, what do you rate Japanese Grand Prix 2018?
I will go for 8. Not 4 takes.
I also will go 8. No pressure, Melissa.
Yeah, do you know what? I was actually thinking 8 as well.
Okay, so we've gone 8 out of 11, which is great. Which actually puts it up there with the likes of the Austrian Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix. What other 8s have we got? China was a really good one. Bahrain was really good going back towards the beginning of the season. So actually, considering we were on a downward trend, the Italian Grand Prix was outstanding, as we know. Kind of dropped a bit in Singapore, dropped a bit in Russia. Japan delivers. But then Japan, I would say Japan always delivers. But last year, we didn't even give it a 6 last year. So...
They always say, though, that it's not a track to overtake on. Yeah, it was absolutely banging. It was
chocker.
Happy.
Absolutely chocker.
It was good, but it was an 8, really, because there was moments in it where there wasn't things going on, but then there was that. It was very good.
So, I have to ask, who's going to have the biggest smile on their face heading home?
Mercedes.
Everyone who works for Mercedes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, isn't it? Because... They're so close. They are so close. You can absolutely taste it. If you want to make sure you catch all of our NRF1 podcasts, just make sure you subscribe via your podcast player of choice. And there's loads out there. Visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. You'll find what you need. Melissa, can you name all of the podcast providers off the top of your head?
I can, but I don't want to right now.
Yeah, that old chestnut. So you've got iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, and even Spotify and Radio Public.
There you go. It's right there.
But if you like getting your podcast through some other service, like Carrier Pigeon or whatever, let us know and we'll see what we can do. Send us an email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Give us a rate and review on whatever your podcast player of choice is. 5 stars is lovely, but if there's stuff we can do to improve, please also let us know. Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I had to give you some beers.
So, next up, We're going to talk more about the upcoming USA Grand Prix on our Patreon podcast because we are running out of time. We just had so much to talk about, so apologies. But what I do want from you guys is I want you to just give me one prediction of something that's going to happen at USA, and that prediction cannot be that Lewis Hamilton will win the world championship. Anything but that, what do you think is going to happen in USA, Alex?
Vettel out.
Oh.
Well, that's just the same thing, isn't it? Oh, no, because you haven't
Vettel
said that.
DNF.
So you haven't said that Lewis will finish, because Lewis might DNF as well, but if they both do, then fine. Okay, so we're going to have a Vettel DNF. Wow, that would be huge. Melissa?
Mine's going to be both Williams into Q2.
She can't even keep a straight face when she says it. And I think mine is going to be, I think we're going to see Danny Ric on the podium.
Aww.
That's what I think, because I think that would be lovely. We will talk more about the United States of America and the Circuit of the Americas when we get to our Patreon podcast. And we will also catch up on anything that seems to be left over from Japan. We'll talk about Danny Ric's form, and we'll just talk about everything and anything that you want to hear about for Formula One. So that is us. So catch us on our Patreon podcast. We're going to talk about Honda as well. And as Michael's written here for me, Renault. So apologies. Yeah, not sure that's okay. We will be returning with episode 233, which is our USA Grand Prix review. And that'll have another Patreon podcast along with it as well. And we could well be wrapping up the championship in that podcast. So, in the meantime, it's thanks to Future Radio, thanks to Arch and Towers for putting us up as always. It's thank you and goodbye from Melissa.
Thank you, and thank you for the Jaffa Cakes.
And it's thank you and goodbye from Alex.
Thank you very much again. Bye.
And goodbye from me, and hopefully next time you hear from us, it'll be on the Patreon podcast, or it'll be after the USA Grand Prix. Have a grand time, all. We'll speak to you soon.